going to try to hold this in my hand as I speak. I'm not as coordinated as Brandon, and I have a hard time holding this in one hand and flipping pages with the other and trying to get a drink with my something. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to use to pick my bottle up with, and then if I need to look something up in the Bible. So anyway, I want to try to best I can. I would like to ask a personal favor to start with. I would like for you to pray for our son Heath and his family. Heath just flew out this morning from Cody for South Bend, Indiana, where he has accepted a job. He has committed to be the general manager of an auto auction. It's one thing that he used to do in Memphis. And so the owners of an auto auction has reached out to him and made him a pretty good offer to be a general manager. In South Bend, he's committed to go there till June. He doesn't want to move. He wants to keep his family in Tensleep. But a man has to make a living for his family. And so he flew out for South Bend about, I don't know, 7 o'clock this morning from Cody. I ask that you pray for his family. The children are struggling right now with their daddy being gone. Daddy is struggling with his son being gone. And, of course, mother is too. So I ask that you pray for them and ask God to, that the will be done in their lives. I want you to ask God to make it where he would be able to live here with his family, but I guess more important is God's will would be done in his life. So, in my life, okay. Is my mic on? This is the one Alan was using. All the way up. Is this okay? Well, I know I have a voice that doesn't project very well, so I'll try to do better. How many of you have ever seen kudzu? Raise your hand if you've driven down the highway and looked out and seen fields of kudzu. Raise your hands again. I want to see how many of you. The rest of you have missed it. Kudzu is a sight to see. Kudzu is a invasive species of ground cover. It has very large leaves, and it does not grow in Wyoming because it prefers a much warmer climate. And so you see quite a bit of kudzu in the south, and especially in the southeast. When you get over to Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, you see lots of kudzu. It's a invasive species that's native to Asia, and it was brought to the United States in the late 1800s from Japan. In the 1930s, the federal government had a bright idea. Has anyone ever heard of our politicians or bureaucrats having a bright idea? They decided that because it was during the Depression, and as you probably know, there was a lot of erosion. There was problems with erosion during the Depression, the Dust Bowl, etc. And so they began to encourage civic organizations and even paid farmers to plant kudzu. In the late 1940s, the federal government decided that maybe it wasn't such a great idea after all, and they stopped the program. The good news is that kudzu was very successful in stopping erosion, and it's a great ground cover. The bad news is that kudzu was too good. In most warm climates, such as the Southeast, kudzu can grow up to 12 inches a day. Yeah, just don't move any more pictures. Go back to the one before, and let's keep it there. So it can grow up to 12 inches a day, and it will completely take over an area. You can drive down the highway, and you see what seemed like miles of nothing but kudzu. May not be miles, but it sure seems like miles of kudzu. See what I mean? I can't turn a page and hold the mic at the same time. It covers the ground, it covers shrubs, it covers trees, it covers buildings. Everything is covered in kudzu. You can see trees 80, 100 feet tall that are completely covered, and all you see is the shape of the trees, because what you see is kudzu. So here's a picture of kudzu. Glory will drive down the highway, and Glory will look out, and she says, they look like monsters. I don't know how many times I've heard that she said, the trees look like monsters. Okay, in the next picture, you see a house. I guess it's a house. It looks like it's some type of building. Just covered in kudzu, along with all the trees. Next picture, a little closer of a different building, completely covered in kudzu. If you're one of the few that have seen kudzu before, it brings back memories, doesn't it? The next picture. Hasn't quite got that one covered yet, but it will. 12 inches a day is a lot of time. So that you see that everything, the fields, the buildings, the trees, the shrubs, everything is covered in kudzu. And it's said that in the Southeast, there's about 7 million acres covered in kudzu. And so far, they haven't found ways, really very many good ways to get rid of it. Matter of fact, I've read that one of the best ways they found to get rid of kudzu is a herd of goats. They'll rent a herd of goats to come out and put them out in the fields. Of course, goats can't reach very high. So once they get started, it's hard to eliminate. Today, I want us to talk and think about the subject of bitterness. And keep in mind that bitterness is like kudzu. And let's consider briefly some actions by a man named Shimei, the Benjamite. Actions that was committed against King David, and also let's look at David's reactions to Shimei. A lot has changed in the past 3,000 years since this story that we're going to read about. But what has not changed is human nature. It's amazing. We can read about something that occurred in the Bible, something that someone did thousands of years ago, and recognize that the core human beings are still the same today as they were 3,000 years ago. This story comes at a low point in King David's life. His son Absalom has just rebelled and was attempting to stage a coup against his father David. David learned that Absalom was and his army was headed to Jerusalem from Hebron, and he was going to take the throne by force. David did not have a large enough military force stationed in Jerusalem at that time to withstand Absalom's army. So David, his officials, members of his family, along with his military guard, was forced to flee Jerusalem. Jerusalem was located within the tribe of Judah, right next to the northern edge of the tribe of Judah, and just between Judah and the tribe of Ephraim was a strip of land about 12 miles wide north to south, 25 miles from east to west, and this was the tribe of Benjamin. David and his followers were headed east toward the Jordan Valley, and they were near the village of Bahurim in the territory of the tribe of Benjamin. So let's take a look at what the Bible says took place. And we first read about Shimei in 2 Samuel chapter 16. We'll start reading at verses 5 through 13. And it says, as King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera. And he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones. Though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out. Get out, you murderer. You scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. Okay, let's stop here for a minute. David had two sisters, Zeruiah and Abigail. Zeruiah had three sons, Abishai, Joab, and Azahel. Joab was the commander-in-chief of David's army. Abishai, one of the sons of Zeruiah, was the second-in-command of David's army. And Abishai and Joab was there right beside David at this time. Azahel, the third son of Zeruiah, had been killed many years before this in battle, probably maybe a couple of decades. So that's Zeruiah and her son. That's one of David's sisters. His other sister, Abigail, had at least one son by the name of Amasa. Amasa was the commander-in-chief of Absalom's army. So, Absalom was David's son, and Joab, Abishai, and Amasa were all David's nephews. And Absalom, Joab, Abishai, and Amasa were all first cousins. Absalom, David's son, and Amasa, David's nephew, were staging a coup against David and trying to kill him, while Joab and Abishai were fighting to save David. You got all that? Then you think your family is dysfunctional? David's family had some real issues. Now verse 9. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse the Lord, my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. Now this was typical of Abishai. This is the way Abishai dealt with people he did not like. You may remember that when King Saul was chasing David and one night while Saul and his army was asleep, Saul was asleep and all of his army was sleeping around him. He was in the center of the army. And David and Abishai crept into the camp, went up to David where he slept. And David's spear was stabbed in the ground right next to him. Hold up. And Abishai said, let me take his own spear and pin him to the ground. He said, I'll only do it once, I promise. And David refused to let Abishai kill Saul. David took Saul's spear and took his water jug, and they snuck back out of camp. Another time, Abishai and Joab, they were upset at a man named Abner. And Abner was on his way home from Jerusalem and on the road, and Joab and Abishai went up to Abner and killed him. So I'm sure that Abishai wanting to cut off Shimei's head wasn't a big surprise to David, because this is the way Abishai dealt with his problems and the people that he didn't like. Probably happened to be a pretty good second in command of the army. He knew how to deal with enemies. But I'm sure it didn't surprise David, mainly because Shimei deserved it. Can you imagine if the president of the United States walked by and you picked up a bunch of rocks and started throwing stones at the president of the United States? That'd be a good way to get hurt. Because I'm sure that the Secret Service takes a dim view of you throwing rocks at the president. Okay, verse 10. But the king said, what does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask? Why do you do this? David then said to Abishai and all his officials, my son, my own flesh and blood is trying to kill me. How much more then this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look upon my misery and restore to me his covenant blessings instead of his curse today. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. Okay, let's stop here. Now, we know that Shimei was from the tribe of Benjamin and from the same clan as Saul. The tribe of Benjamin was the smallest of all 12 tribes, both in population and geographically. The tribe of Benjamin was located on this small strip of land that we talked about between Judah and Ephraim, and was 12 miles north to south, 25 miles east to west. This was the tribe of Benjamin. Years earlier, maybe a couple hundred years, the tribe of Benjamin revolted against the rest of the tribes and actually went to war against the other 11 tribes. And they were completely decimated. And as a result, when they started the war against the other 11 tribes, Benjamin had 27,000 fighting men. When the war was over, Benjamin had 600 men still alive. Completely decimated the tribe of Benjamin. And Benjamin was not only the smallest of the tribes before this, now they've only have 600 men, period. Of course, this was several hundred years before this story. So they had suffered this humiliating defeat that had decimated them, and also they may have been looked upon from the other tribes as not being important. Samson had been from the tribe of Dan. Caleb and his son, Othniel, were from the tribe of Judah. Othniel was one of the judges. You read the book of Judges. Gideon was from the tribe of Manasseh. Moses and Aaron were Levites. Joshua, the prophetess Deborah, and the great prophet Samuel were all from the tribe of Ephraim. And I'm sure that the Benjamites were sick and tired of hearing their neighbors, the Ephraimites, brag about the great people that had come from the tribe of Ephraim. So for years, people from the tribe of Benjamin had possibly felt inferior to the other tribes. And then things changed. Saul, a member of their own tribe, was chosen by God and anointed by the great prophet Samuel to be the first king of the Israelite nation. Saul's rise to power, to become the first king of the nation of Israel, must have given the people of Benjamin a lot of pride and status. As king, Saul would have been in a position to dispense perks, positions of power, and dispense prestige to the people of Benjamin. Since Shimei was from the same clan, he could certainly have been and felt a personal sense of importance and prestige. He could very well have been on the receiving end of perks and may have come from being related to Saul, the most powerful man in the nation. He could well have had not only status, but received personal benefits from that. Also, the Benjamites and Saul's extended family were expecting these benefits to last for generations, to come from Saul's descendants. Now, Saul and all his sons were dead. All of the perks, all of the prestige, all of the power, all of the benefits vanished. They were gone. So it's understandable that King Saul's death was a blow to Shimei, his extended family, and to the entire tribe of Benjamin. Shimei was bitter. According to biblical scholars, Saul's death had occurred 20 to 30 years before this incident. So for decades, Shimei's bitterness festered, grew inside of him, and eventually consumed him. Remember, bitterness is like kudzu. It might start out small, but if it's left unchecked, bitterness can grow until it completely consumes a person, just like kudzu completely consumed its host. Now, one of the first things that jumps out when we read these scriptures is that Shimei had his facts wrong. David did not murder Saul or shed the blood of Saul's household. Matter of fact, David had several opportunities to kill Saul and refused to do it. But Shimei did not allow the facts to get in the way of his feelings. Shimei had lost prestige, he had lost social standing, he had possibly lost power and maybe even valuable benefits. Somebody needs to pay. You can just imagine that for years, Shimei and other members of the clan and tribe of Benjamin would sit around and talk about how David had wronged Saul, and in so doing had wronged and damaged them. You can imagine them over the years criticizing David's policies, criticizing his decisions and taking joy and delight in his failures. And now David was finally, finally getting what was doing. Shimei, his clan, and possibly most of the tribe of Benjamin were seeing the revenge that they so desperately wanted. Who here has not been hurt by the action or words of somebody else? We all have. Who hasn't been criticized unjustly? We all have. Who hasn't been let down by someone they trusted? Who here hasn't had things said about them that just weren't true? Some of you might have had a spouse that was unfaithful. Others of you might have been physically or emotionally abused. There are some people who have even been imprisoned unjustly. Unfortunately, these things like this can happen at times completely outside of our control. All of the things and much more, these things have the potential to cause bitterness to begin to fester and grow inside of us. As bitterness and resentment grows, anger grows, and the desire for revenge grows. We seemingly can't let go of these feelings. More importantly, we often don't want to let go of these feelings. St. Augustine once said, resentment or bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. We know that bitterness and resentment is damaging to both a person's physical and mental health. Physically, it causes major damage throughout our entire body, much like extreme stress. These negative emotions interfere with our immune system. They cause us to be susceptible to illness and disease. They can even activate arthritis and cause heart problems. Mentally, it can cause us to begin seeing things through spectacles or lenses of negativity. All of us have known people that we do not want to be around because they always seem so negative about everything. Bitterness will turn us into a person that others do not want to associate with. Bitterness can cause us to so focus upon the past that we cannot enjoy the present. Like kudzu, it can so consume us that it will affect all aspects of our life. The writer of Hebrews said in chapter 12, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. See that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus saying, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Peter wrote in speaking about Christ, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Then Paul wrote to the church of Romans saying, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And Jesus himself said in Matthew, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We know that forgiveness is a choice. The Mayo Clinic has come out with a statement that says that forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and improved self-esteem. God doesn't want us to be a forgiving to forgive other people just because of the benefit that they receive. He wants us to be forgiving because he loves us. And he's always known that forgiving other improves our lives. Medical science now agrees with what the Bible has been telling and trying to teach us for years of our need to forgive. Shimei must have been a miserable person to have held on to and nurtured that much bitterness for decades. Must have turned him into a negative, pessimistic, thoroughly unhappy, and wretched person. He was so consumed by his bitterness that he very rashly threw dirt and cursed King David in the presence of his military leaders, in the presence of the generals of his army. Abishai, one of David's generals, wanted to cut his head off, and he deserved it. But David refused to let Abishai kill Shimei and continued on. He crossed the Jordan River, set up his headquarters in the Jordan Valley on the east side of the Jordan River. Both David and Absalom put together large armies. Their armies met in battle, and David's army totally defeated the army of Absalom. The Bible does not tell us how many men fought in the battles from each side, but it does tell us that 20,000 men died, including Absalom. Before David and his army had a chance to get back across the Jordan River on his way back to Jerusalem, guess who shows up? Yep, Shimei. He's had time to think about what he did and probably realized that throwing rocks and dirt and cursing the king was maybe not such a great idea. And now, to make things worse, David won. He'll be returning back to Jerusalem in triumph. So in chapter 19, Shimei shows up leading 1,000 Benjamites. So Shimei was a pretty important person in the tribe of Benjamin. He's leading 1,000 Benjamites, 1,000 men. This is after the war, so we don't know how many he started with. And I'm doubtful that Shimei and his 1,000 men fought for David. Bible doesn't tell us, but I got a pretty good idea which side he was fighting on. Abishai, he hasn't changed his mind. He still wants to cut his head off. He's asked David, please let me cut his head off. But David forgives and lets Shimei live. In closing, we certainly do not have control over other people. We don't have control over the choices they make. We can't make them like us. We can't make them agree with us. We can't make them see things from our point of view. We can't keep people from saying negative things about us or things that are not true. We can't force people to get their facts straight. Each of us has control over one person. Each of us have control over ourselves. We have control over our actions, and more importantly, we have control over our attitude. David not only chose to forgive Shimei during their second encounter, when Shimei asked to be forgiven, David also chose to have a forgiving attitude toward Shimei during their first encounter. When Shimei was cursing him, and when Shimei was throwing stones and dirt at him, when Shimei did not ask to be forgiven, and when David's closest advisors were recommending that David treat Shimei as he deserved to be treated. In this instance, David exemplified Christ's attitude. In Luke, we are told that when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." The people that crucified Jesus did not ask him for forgiveness. Yet Jesus chose to forgive them anyway. David did not treat Shimei as he deserved to be treated, just as Christ did not treat us like we deserve to be treated. Christ makes it clear that we are to forgive others with both our actions and our attitudes. Jesus knows that forgiving others is what's best for us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be healthy by being a person who forgives. If you would, bow your head with me. Lord, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying the debt that we owe. Thank you for making it possible that we can have eternal life. Our desire, Lord, is to be like you. And to be like you, we must be forgiving of others. Help us to be the kind of person who doesn't let bitterness consume us, but rather allows the Holy Spirit to work in our lives so that we become a person who forgives both in our actions and in our attitudes. I pray that you keep your hand of protection upon each person here today. Help us to be a witness for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. Hope to see you again next week. You're dismissed.